It's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All aboard!
Jake and Ben, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone, Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. Thank you for making us a part of your Tuesday. Big day on the show, Ben. We're going to air the Danny Ainge press conference at the top of the 11 o'clock hour, which should give us enough time to immediately react, which will be nice.
Mr. Elusive, Danny Ainge, what do you expect to hear from Danny today?
I don't know. I could see it going both ways. If it were Dennis Lindsay, I'd know we'd hear a lot of words, but a whole lot of, like, empty coach speak.
A lot of names, not a lot of info. I actually think Danny does say quite a bit. Danny's not hiding as much as I think people think he is.
That's the
thing. I still think he wants to do any media, but he's not hiding.
No, well, I mean, define hiding, I suppose. But I expect fairly frank answers.
Yeah, he will tell you the truth.
Is my point. I don't know if I would expect frank answers from Dennis Lindsay, but I expect fairly frank answers from Danny Ainge.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody in the know who knows Danny well and said, yeah, that part of his brain is kind of broken. Not brain, I shouldn't say that. That part of Danny is kind of broken. He will just tell you what is happening. He's not going to play that game. It's not who he is. He doesn't have to anymore. He's got the best job security outside of Pat Riley. And maybe it's as good, if not better, than Pat Riley. Like, he doesn't have to worry about anything. What does Danny Ainge have to worry about? Ryan Smith's not going to fire him. He's going to the Hall of Fame at some point.
Yeah, but he's also not going to come out and put a bunch of people on blast and confess that they're going to try and lose every game next year.
No, he won't do that.
You're not going to hear that sort of thing.
No, he won't say, no, we're Cooper Flag or bust.
He's still going to be somewhat political, I guess, is my point.
Yeah.
Because he's a general manager, and that's what
he manages people.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if he stood up there and busted out a list and, like, you know, here's a list of people that have disappointed me this year.
Airing of grievances, number one.
It's a long list.
Colin Sexton.
So buckle up, because we're going to get deep and hurt some feelings right now. Yeah, and you're not going to.
Colin Sexton might be the person you can have the fewest grievances about this year. Played as many games as he could, got sick the very last few games of the season, and I think they probably rested him the last game or two. But he played 79 games, had maybe not his best career season statistically. He averaged 24 at one point in Cleveland, but impacted winning probably more than he ever has before. Colin was good this year.
He was good this year, and I liked his and Will Hardy's. The evolution of their relationship I thought was pretty darn interesting. But what if Danny was super frank? Like, yeah, we packed hot dog stuff and mailed it to him because no need to come back.
Yeah,
we wished him luck.
Yeah, right. Good luck. Adios.
Thanks for helping us rack up some mails at the end.
Appreciate you. You served your purpose. I'll be curious where Talen lands. I don't think it'll be with the Jazz next year.
I don't either.
I think he is still in the NBA next season. I think he gets another shot.
Maybe. I wonder about him if he ever evolves his understanding of where he fits in the league. And by the way, that's not a problem just he has. I think that's actually a really common problem in the NBA, where players come in and they're used to something and they've got to evolve into something else, and that's a difficult process. But, like, if you look at his size, his ability to get to the basket, if used selectively, he's not a bad shooter.
Career high 33% this year.
He hustles. He hustles when he wants to, and which is more often than not. I'm not here to bag on the guy, but, like, his role in the NBA is never going to be take the ball and go eat. I mean, that's not advantageous to winning basketball. He's just not good enough to play that way. But if he picked his spots a little bit better and found out what his role was going to be on a team, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, playing whatever minutes. But what you can't do is come in and just push everybody out of the way and be like, all right, it's hot dog's time to hot dog up some hoops, because the NBA didn't work that way, I guess, unless you're James Harden, and even then they didn't get to a title, you know?
And Talen Horton is not James Harden.
Not even close.
Here's the hard part for Talen.
Does he evolve his mentality? I wonder. If he lands, gets another opportunity, does he say, okay, well, I'm going to fill a different role?
Career-high three-point shooting percentage, 33%, which is not good, but it's within the realm of acceptable. And career-high free throw percentage, 0.807. And career-low effective field goal percentage. That's just bizarre, because he was so bad inside the paint. Which is funny. That's kind of what you'd think his strength is getting to the basket. Well, he shot 39% from the floor. He shot 43% on two-point shots. Really bad. Really bad. Now, that could be Jazz spacing. That could be always having somebody in the dunker spot. There's a lot there. Difficulty of shot. He took a lot of really, really hard layups. But he's going to be picked apart pretty good. I mean, he's certainly not making $10 million next year like he did this year.
Well, I think stats, if I were considering signing him, I would not consider stats. Because frankly, after the play hard and pass throwdown, and if you're not going to play Jazz basketball, you're not going to play that whole thing. Like, Talen's playing time fell off a cliff. I mean, if you read into that, what you will. And every time he got into play there on out, Ben, he was going to shoot every time he touched the ball. Go back and watch it. Every time he got in, he was getting up. He was going to get double-digit shots in whatever, you know, 6 minutes he played or whatever.
He averaged 9 attempts a game in fewer than 20 minutes. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And so he was getting out there and trying to pack stats, and I would guess that he was getting some bad advice, but we'll see. I mean, I don't want to hate on the guy. He actually had a really good attitude. It just, he didn't listen. I don't think he listened to the coach.
Fourth on the team in field goal attempts per minute. Colin Sexton won, but Colin Sexton had one of the better shooting years of his career. Lauri Markkanen two. Lauri Markkanen should be one. Jordan Clarkson three. That's what Jordan Clarkson does. And then Talen four, ahead of both Keontae George and John Collins.
Well, listen, Colin at times, and to talk about the evolution of the relationship with the coach, Colin at times fell into the same category as Talen did. But Colin fell in line a lot more. Now, he had his relapses too, where he would cut the rest of the team out of the game plan and get a full head of steam. But he seemed to have a better communication on the issue with the coach, because he'd dial it in pretty quick when they'd have a tough loss, or Coach Hardy would have one of those stern post games, and all of a sudden Colin would be back to what made him better. And that's just natural evolution, I would say. But it seemed like he and Coach Hardy had a really good relationship, where it was like, trust me, dial it back a little bit, move it around. This is how we're going to do it, and you're going to look good doing it. And that's what ultimately, I think, was the theme of his season.
He kind of figured out less is more. Less calling in the right spots is a lot more. It brings more to the team.
You know what? That's a good point. Picked his spots a lot better.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't want him leading your team in attempts per minute. So
no. Then that'll change. That will continue to evolve and grow. But fine. Colin was good this year. So I'll be curious. Yeah. I mean, the Jazz have, what, 5 free agents coming up this season? We already talked about Talen Horton Tucker. I don't think we'll see Luka Šamanić again, in all honesty. Intriguing body, great athleticism. To this point of
love
shooting.
Shoot.
He's number
yeah.
7 on the team in
I'm
field
sure
goals per
is.
Minute. He was not passing. Certainly he was not going to be moving that ball very often when he was on the floor. Omer Yurtseven has a non-guaranteed contract next year. I kind of don't think we'll see him back, but I could be wrong on that.
Oh, I'd totally bring that dude back.
He's cheap.
I thought he showed a lot. And he had 18 rebounds in the last game.
There's like enough of that. He's just like a very normal backup center. And you know what? If you replace Omer, you're getting Omer 2.0.
Yeah.
That's the difference. It's like, you might get a different body. It's the same person.
The same dude.
Yeah.
And if you can get him on a low salary, why not? And that's what I want out of my backup center. Go ahead and crack some skulls.
And he was fine not playing. I'm sure he wanted to play, but you never heard. I don't think he went into Will Hardy's office and was like, all right, coach, I got to play now, when he sat for 40 games in a row in the middle of the season. I don't, you know,
He said something about that in a post game. God, was it the second to last game? Maybe it was the last game. Where he was like, I didn't play forever, so I got to get in and make it happen. And I thought he did. I thought he was good. I'd consider bringing him back.
I don't think Kyra Lewis Jr. is back. He was involved in the Kelly Olynyk trade. Maybe he'll play the summer league or something like that, but he might just want a fresh start somewhere else with a better opportunity. Johnny Juzang, I think Johnny Juzang's going to get an NBA contract. I don't know if it's with the Jazz or not.
You think he's shown enough?
I think if you're like the Phoenix, these second apron teams that have $1 trillion on their salary, like if I'm taking a flyer on a young guy who can shoot threes at a really high level, I think that's a pretty good investment. Shot 41% from three on 7.5 attempts for 36 minutes. It's a good number. I would take a flyer on him. And there will be enough Milwaukee Bucks, Phoenix Suns, Boston Celtics, those types of teams, Denver Nuggets. Like, that's exactly who I would target. The nice thing for the Jazz in that situation is he's a restricted free agent. So if you want to bring him back, you can bring him back at whatever the lowest cost is. And it may actually scare teams away from even investing in him. Jason Preston's on a two-way deal. He'll be back next season. I think he's going to play summer league with the Jazz. Chris Dunn, I think, is probably a little bit more interesting. Unrestricted free agent. Jazz can't match his rights. Did give him a chance to come back. He has a role here. He fits. And still, I don't know if I'd be, like, married to bringing him back, but I certainly wouldn't put it away.
I think he's been good enough to be a backup point guard somewhere.
I think so, too.
So I would guess he gets signed. I mean,
He's definitely an NBA player.
His shooting is still inconsistent, but give me a dude who can go out there and guard and doesn't turn the ball over hardly at all and is competent when it comes to, you know, where to be on the floor. I think there's value in that. I don't know who his comp would be per se. He can't shoot it well enough to be your starting guard. But I got to guess that guy has 17, 18 minutes in a rotation on a really good team.
He can play on all 30 teams in the NBA. That's a real advantage.
So someone's going to sign him somewhere.
Yeah, again, these second apron teams that would love to sign him to a veteran minimum, I just think he's going to make more than that is the truth. Like, I just don't think you're going to get him for $1.5 million.
And maybe we're up in the night and the shooting thing is just, you know, not going to work in the NBA. But he's been really good at times for the Jazz.
And he's an interesting character. Good character, like a good leader.
In a positive way.
Yeah.
But if the other team doesn't have to guard you, that's rough.
Micah Potter, I'd be surprised if he's back next year.
Yeah.
His two-way contract comes to an end. Like Johnny Juzang, he's a restricted free agent. And then the two players they added late in the season, Darius Bazley and Kenneth Lofton Jr., I would expect both to be in camp next year. They're on non-guaranteed deals. I think Kenneth Lofton has a real chance of making the team.
He's interesting.
He's interesting.
But this is all, you know, back of the roster fringe stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
this started with Talen. And
I don't think any of these are particularly difficult decisions. Like, I mean, I think that Yurtsevin warrants another look. You obviously feel the same way about Kenny Lofton. Would it be some great tragedy to the team if they decided, meh?
Right. You'd be like, oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, they almost did with Johnny Juzang. Remember they waived Johnny Juzang?
Yeah.
Early in free agency. I think they actually let him test the market a little bit. And they said, okay, we'll bring you back for another two-way. Like, well, okay, go see if there's anything out there for you. And we're happy if you make money somewhere else. And he didn't, and he came back. I could see the Jazz doing that with all of these guys.
But, like, I mean, you know, you thin Kenny out. Can he be a unique player in the league? Like an oversized 3-4 wing kind of guy? I don't know if that's possible, but, I mean, I think that's interesting.
Well, again, at this point, I had someone tweet me, and they were right on. Someone's going to draft DJ Burns this year, maybe, from NC State.
You think?
Someone might take a chance on him late in the second round and just say, like, he's interesting. He moves the ball, great soft touch. It's like, also, that's Kenneth Lofton. Same guy. So maybe if someone was going to use a second-round pick on him, just bring Kenneth back. Give him a try. I think you can still sign him to another. I mean, well, I guess he's on a non-guaranteed deal, so you don't need to put him on a two-way, but, you know, he's cheap. He's not going to cost anything.
See, Booner and Locke got in this big, big argument. No, I mean, just a discussion, really, about where he fits as an NBA 4 or an NBA 5. And Booner's convinced he's a 4. Locke and Coach Lacombe are convinced he's a 5. And initially, I was siding with Coach and David. But I don't know. I was thinking about what Booner was getting at. I wonder if you can't slim him down a little bit, make him more laterally quick, and all of a sudden he's a really effective wing type player.
Yeah, I mean,
like, does he have to be a fat guy big? I don't.
No,
does
not
he
at all.
Have to be that? You know what I mean? Because
no,
I think DJ Burns may have to be that.
Yes, agreed. He's more of a big body
but,
down low.
You know, as we've talked about often, Ben, the NBA is going to the playmaking big, where they can take the ball in the middle of the court
right.
and
pick you apart,
and pick you apart. And if Kenneth Lofton can be that, then maybe he is a big in the league. So, but I don't know. Booner got me thinking about where somebody like that would be the most effective. Like, there's plenty of examples of people are going, okay, that guy's a big, and then they make him into a wing, and it's like, hot dang. There were two right in a row from the Mountain West Conference. Danny Granger, who went to the Pacers, who was a big at New Mexico, and Kawhi Leonard, who was a big at San Diego State, who goes to the Spurs, obviously, and totally remakes his game.
No, it's funny you say that, because I actually think I could see Kenneth Lofton playing, like, to use basketball lingo, 4-3, like power forward, small forward, not just center power forward. Like, I think you could put him out there in some lineups that have both Lowry, Markkanen, and John Collins on the floor, and you're like, yeah, you know, Lowry and Kenneth are kind of this 3-4 hybrid, and they both can stand on the perimeter.
Yeah, you're thinking offensively, though. Where does he guard? That's the problem. Yeah. That's why he'd have to trim down, because he can't. I mean, can you imagine what Jason Tatum would do to him right now?
Yeah, like, he's not doing that.
There's no way he's laterally quick enough right now to be able to guard.
But you know whose game is like? It's kind of funny, because it's very on the nose. He's actually a little Kelly Olynyk-y. And now Kelly was a 4-5, you know?
Right.
But, okay, fine. Like, you played a bunch of zone defense with Kelly Olynyk, and you hit him, and that was fine. It worked. You could probably do that with Kenneth.
So they'd have to decide what his position is going to be.
Yeah.
And is, like, a playmaking center even worth investing in if you're only going to play him for 15 minutes a night? Because I don't think anybody sees his ceiling at the moment as starting big in the league, who you run your offense through. That doesn't feel like that's it.
But maybe he's 10 or 12 minutes a night as a change of pace guy who is one of the more unique players.
Do I want that, or do I want a giant Turkish man who can knock your head off?
And maybe you just have both, and you play it position. You play it opportunistically.
Right.
You see what the matchups are.
But yeah, I mean, Ron got me thinking, though. Like, why should he be stuck as a fat guy big? Or if he could work on his body a little bit.
Which, of course, they're going to. You know, like, he's 21. Like, that's the funny thing about him. I know it kind of seems like he's been around for a minute, because he's played for the Grizzlies and played for the 76ers, I think, for a little bit. But yeah, he's got to grow up. He's got to lose some of that kid weight. Still,
yeah,
he's got to get into a man shape.
And they're big into nutrition over there, and you know some of the behind the scenes stuff. I mean, they're very serious.
Let Coach
about,
Ant, let Chef Ant, I should say, Anthony Zamora, get his hands on him for an entire offseason. Have him live in Salt Lake. Monitor him closely. Yeah,
but they're serious about that. I mean, having the body being in,
and you would hope he is too.
Yeah,
and by the way, I don't think his body's that far from being a good body. It's not like he's, you know, Bryce Sensabaugh has a lot of young weight on him still. Like, a lot of young weight on him. So he's going to shed 7 pounds, 6 pounds, and will look totally different. Like, I don't think Kenny's 30 pounds off of, I should say Kenneth, that's what he prefers, I guess. He's not 30 pounds off of being an NBA player.
Yeah, I don't know how many, but, you know, if Locke innocently is making multiple fat guy jokes in a broadcast, I don't think that's where he would be his most effective in the league. And I'm not picking on Locke, but like I listen and he's like, oh, there's an earthquake in LA today or whatever. And it's like,
it's also very funny to talk to him in person, Kenneth Lofton, and you see him up close and you're like, oh, I see. Other than the fact that he's 6'7",
like, he's not very tall. That's the issue.
But like, his body's actually not crazy. Like, you see him in person, you're like, oh, that's what normal people look like. Every other player in the NBA is just the most fit human being on the planet. They are just 3% body fat and all muscle and long and lean and bizarre looking. Like, their bodies are actually crazy. Kenneth Lofton just has a more normal human body and bigger than most, but very not out of the ordinary when you see him in person. But yes, when he's playing next to all these other super freak athletes on the NBA, he looks different. But man, he can play. He's got a ton of game. So, and he really reads the game well. That's what I'm.
Yeah, he's good at basketball for sure.
He totally gets it. He totally gets what the team is supposed to be doing. He recognizes what opposing defenses are trying to do. He processes the game at a really quick level, maybe faster than anybody on the Jazz. Like, his reads are quicker than anybody else on the team right now, especially late in the season. That's why I would keep him around. I think high IQ, nice kid, potential, doesn't cost anything. That's exactly where the Jazz should be right now.
Top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com coming up next. So Danny Ainge we're hoping to hear from him at the top of the 11 o'clock hour.
Then I think Will Hardy's going to open Hans and Scotty.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. And I think Lloyd is like physically stringing wire over to the practice facility, so we hope that our connection
and some fish line.
Is all right. Has Lloyd made it past, you know, under the freeway yet?
They've already connected.
Wow.
Way ahead of time.
Wow.
Check the mics, so we should be good to go.
They had Danny go in early to test the mics?
I doubt that. I don't think he needs to be mic check.
Danny Ainge does it?
An hour before. Hey, guys, hey, I'm just here to check the mics.
I'll just wait.
Check one, two. You got it? Everybody got me? All right. Stay tuned. Top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com. Coming up next, Jacob Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Want to remind you to nominate the youth sports volunteer you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contest and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. All right. Time for the top three stories of the day, KSLSports.com. Where are we starting today, Sarah?
Number one, the NHL Executive Committee approves the Coyotes' move to Utah.
So this is the first step. It still needs to be voted on by the governors. There's 32 governors, obviously, and they will vote to approve it or pass on it. But I suspect a lot of that is just minutia in the way of it happening. It's just going to happen.
Is hockey calling them governors, too?
They are.
All right. Yeah. I mean, it's going to happen. The governors or whatever want them out of Phoenix too. Look, they're playing in Arizona State's parking lot.
It all comes back to that. What I didn't realize is, yes, they're playing at what they call the Mullet Arena. It's 5,000 seats, and they don't sell out.
Yeah.
Like, what do we do? NHL and all of its governors or owners were just like, we're not sending our team there anymore. Enough.
Yeah.
And it's 3 more years of this? We've already been doing it for a year? And you want 3 more years of playing at a 5,000-seat stadium that you can't sell out. Our guys are better than that. This is the big leagues, guys. This is not...
It should never have come to this.
Not the AHL.
Sure,
it's not the ECHL. The Maverick Center is a significantly better experience than playing in the NHL at this point.
Yeah.
Okay, no. We're done with that. We're not doing that anymore. Salt Lake, you have an offer. Great. We're going to take Salt Lake's offer. Great. And we're going to get some relocation money, $200 million from Ryan Smith, going to be dispersed over the 31 other teams. Fine.
Yeah.
We'll take it. Yeah, Morello, here's $1 billion. You have to pay us back if you get a team. You're not going to get another team, but fine. We'll pretend that pipe dream still exists. But, I mean, look, Wednesday's their last game. Sam Farnsworth is headed down there right now. He's going to cover that last game, and the rumor is they're going to come back after the game and check out the facilities here. We'll see if that happens. But very exciting that this is the breakthrough we've been waiting for a long time, to add a second major four sports franchise to our beautiful state.
And good for Ryan Smith for being aggressive. This is the way that Vegas landed the Golden Knights, is they built that T-Mobile Arena. So you know what? We're going to build it. We don't have a team to put in it, but we're going to build it. And we know you're going to get over your trepidations about gambling eventually, and you're going to be here, and lo and behold, that happened. You know, Ryan put the wheels in motion on this and was opportunistic. Could say, we're going to wait for an expansion. But no, it's like, we're going to come in. We're going to do you a favor. We're going to rescue this franchise, and we're going to give it a good home. And it's smart. I mean, if you want to make a Jazz comparison, it's the way the Jazz should be with their roster. Be opportunistic. You know, when Oklahoma City didn't want to pay James Harden $5 million extra a year for some reason, Houston was opportunistic.
Yeah.
You know, you never know what's going to come. You got to be in a position to pounce. And that's exactly what Salt Lake is doing, and Ryan Smith deserves credit for it. I mean, it seems to me, Ben, And I don't have any inside info on this, but it seems to me that there hasn't been any bickering over dollars and cents. Mainly his and his organization's attitude has been like, whatever, just here, let's do this, let's make it happen. And I think that's what it takes.
Absolutely. And you know what? Credit him. He found a way to get Republicans and Democrats together in our legislature to approve this, and it happened quickly. And our Democratic mayor was on board, and our Republican governor was on board. Like, everybody was on board for this. Everybody got together to bring this to Salt Lake City. He found a way to keep it downtown. He's got the backing of the biggest institute in our state, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We're all for it. He's got the building for it. He's got the money for it. Like, he crossed his T's and dotted his I's. He did the work he had to. And then not only that, he was in Gary Bettman's ear, it sounds like, for the last year and a half.
Yeah, forever.
Every chance he get. Oh, you're going to be playing golf? Well, let me take you to dinner. Let's meet. Let's hang out. Oh, you're going to be in New York? I'm randomly going to be there too. Why? Don't ask. I'm just going to be there wherever you're going to be. Let's have lunch. And he did. And he did all the work that you have to put it in motion to make sure that when that opportunity came, it happened. And you know what he could have said? Gary, $1.2 billion for a hockey franchise is not the right price. It's too much.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That
it's
was
not
my
what
point.
Anyone else is
yeah.
asking.
No, he.
No, I could have. I'm going to wait for expansion. I'm going to save $400 million. He said, no, I'm not going to balk at the price.
We're
like you said,
it.
We're just going to do it. We're going to make it easy. I think it's going to be good for us. It's going to be good for the community. So good for Ryan Smith. He did it.
And you're right about the bipartisan support, except for the Democrats in the legislature, because there's not enough of them to matter. So.
Yeah, but the mayor was on board. Yes, you're right. They couldn't have blocked it if they tried. They couldn't have blocked it if they tried.
But yeah, the mayor was on board. Sure, I got you. Bipartisan yeah. support.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great for our community. I'm fully on board. I'm excited about it. I'm glad, you know, we have the ability to send Sam down there to cover the game, to give this monstrous story the coverage that it absolutely deserves, because this is whenever the announcement is coming, which I would guess is in...
Could be as soon as tomorrow.
Like days.
Might
not,
be Thursday.
Not weeks, yeah. That will be one of the bigger days in our rich sports history around here. So
top three.
Pretty cool.
Yep.
Man, top three, that'd be an interesting argument, actually. I mean, it'd be close.
Bigger deal now than when the Jazz moved here.
Yeah, but like getting the O2 Olympics, like that was a pretty big day.
And this is permanent, though. Like this is to stay.
Yeah,
the Olympics were awesome.
Right.
And the Olympics were such a fire, like the starting gun, right? Like, didn't that feel like the engine has, we've turned the engine on and it worked? That's what it felt like to me with the Olympics. Now, I was young when this was announced, but it felt like the starting gun that, like, Salt Lake is here.
BYU winning a national championship was probably a pretty big day.
They made that up. They gave it to a team that beat 5 loss Michigan. Let me anger people on the radio.
It's a national championship.
No, it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal.
But I hear you. That maybe there's an interesting sports radio topic for the future.
NHL is bigger than BYU's national title. It's bigger than Utah winning the Fiesta Bowl. It's bigger than Utah winning the Sugar Bowl. Yeah, it's bigger than all those.
Final four?
We got breaking news on the BYU head coaching front.
Oh, hit us.
According to Adrian Wojnarowski, Phoenix Suns associate head coach Kevin Young is filing a long-term deal to become the next head coach at BYU.
Gonna
An aggressive
it.
Push to hire NBA's highest paid assistant lands BYU its top target. That's a huge hire. Kevin Young is the top assistant in the NBA right now. Kevin Young is the number one assistant coach in the NBA right now. He has been interviewing for the Charlotte Hornets job. I think he just interviewed for the Brooklyn Nets job that they just hired. Jordy Fernandez, who I think is the assistant with the Sacramento Kings. This is an absolutely enormous hire for BYU. This is beyond best case scenario for the Cougars. This is a who's who of coaches. This is a real muscle flex from BYU to show that they still have a ton of power. That's very impressive.
Well, they probably had to pony up some dough. So
a
lot
of dough.
That's probably a good sign.
That is a huge investment.
You know, I always take the we'll see approach. Or actually, that's not true. I haven't always done that. And it's actually burned me multiple times. So I'll go with the we'll see approach, because college and pro coaching are definitely still different, and there are a lot of factors. But as far as your credibility goes, I mean, for the reasons that you just laid out there, yeah, it seems to me that that's a pretty strong resume to bring in as BYU's next head coach. So I think there's reason for optimism there. In fact, that brings us to number two, Sarah.
Well, yeah, this is gives us a bright side to this, but Colin Chandler flipped his commit from BYU to Kentucky.
Dirty pool, Mark.
As expected.
Dirty pool. We'll see what Kevin Young can do to retain the rest of this BYU squad that should bring some players back if he can scramble a little bit.
I'm stunned, in all honesty. That's a crazy hire. He interviewed for the Jazz job before Will Hardy got it. He's been interviewing for the Raptors job.
He interviewed for the BYU job, I think, last time.
He probably did. I think yeah. He's LDS, I believe.
And they liked him. That was the kind of buzz about him was he knocked his interview out of the park and didn't end up getting it, but not a shock. I mean, it's not the first time you or me has heard his name mentioned. This isn't falling out of the blue.
No, but you are not getting NBA coaches leaving the NBA when their next job is an NBA head coaching job to go to college. That is crazy, especially because there's a real belief that Frank Vogel's going to get fired this summer if the Suns don't win. So for him to bail on the NBA to join BYU is a ridiculously good hire from day one. Now, what does he do with the job? Can he recruit? How does he get players, et cetera, et cetera? Those are all very big storylines, but you could not have hit a better grand slam for BYU. He might be a better coach than Mark Pope. He's that good of a coach. He could take the highest level college job right now probably because of his resume in college basketball or in the NBA.
The deal is reportedly worth, and this is interesting because figures usually don't come out of old BYU, but the deal is worth approximately $30 million over 7 years.
Yeah, somebody wanted that number to get out. Somebody at BYU wanted everyone to know that they're here to play.
Matt Norlander, by the way, is the one who threw out those figures from CBSSports.com.
Norlander would know.
So 7 years, $30 million. It's very nice. I mean, you know what? NBA assistants don't make anywhere near that amount of money.
No, he was probably making. I mean, he was one of the top assistants in the NBA. He might have been up around $1 million.
A lot of NBA head coaches aren't making that kind of scratch.
So, that's unbelievable. I can't believe that story for BYU.
Well, it's cool BYU go get their guy. I mean, you know, notoriously over the years, they have not spent, but they have never been in a league like this either. I mean, it's pretty easy not to spend when you're sitting in the Mountain West.
I'll be curious what he brings with him. Potentially good news for the University of Utah, because Burgess probably stays at Utah now. Which he's, if you're in the know up at Utah, is kind of the heart and soul behind a lot of what they do. I know he's not the head coach, but he's a lot of the momentum that they've had.
Maybe he goes. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe Burge still ends up at BYU.
He could.
By the way, that's sheer speculation on my part. But I think he had some pretty loud voices that liked him in this whole thing. So maybe they find a way to make that happen. I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah. Honestly, I said he's LDS. I don't know if he is or not.
Kevin Young? He is.
Kevin Young is.
Yes.
Okay.
100%.
Okay.
Yes.
He is. That's shocking. That's just an A-plus hire. That's more than what you could have imagined. That's awesome. Good for BYU. That is, you know, they lost everything. They're going to have to step up and figure out how to bring this back. But yeah, this is an unbelievable hire.
All right, so that's the next head basketball coach at BYU, Kevin Young.
The assistant coach for the Phoenix Suns has interviewed for multiple NBA head coaching jobs to leave the NBA to go to college. Wild. Good for him.
And that's a Woj bomb.
Yep.
Woj doesn't often drop bombs about Brigham Young University. All right, well, it'll be fun to get to know him a little bit better, huh?
42 years old, prime of his career. Yeah, his next step, he's born in Salt Lake. His next step was going to be a head coach somewhere. Can't believe BYU got him. That's great.
Well, let's...
Should we get to number three quickly?
I hope he knows how to come in and recruit, because he doesn't have to do that now.
It's a different job, yeah, right. It's a totally different job.
And now he has to sell cars and all the other things that come along with being a college coach these days.
But yep.
NBA credibility is certainly helpful. All right, next.
Number three, Alyssa Pealey goes number 8 overall in the WNBA draft.
Selected to the Minnesota Lynx. There was kind of an established top 7 in this draft. In fact, Chicago traded up to get to number 7 so they could draft Angel Reese, the star from LSU, because they didn't think she was going to fall to 8, because, again, that was kind of the top tier. And then it was kind of viewed to open up for a little bit, and Alyssa Pelley went number 8. So viewed as, like, the top of that next tier, and rightfully so. She was awesome. Again, very unique. Undersized, she's only 6 feet tall, but pick and pop, kill you in the post. Not a great rebounder, but not going to lose out on the toughness battle. So excited to see what you can do. Minnesota Lynx have 4 titles in the last decade. I mean, they are one of the better franchises historically.
Minneapolis, surprisingly muggy in the summertime.
Midwest, right on the river.
I had, like, I went to a wedding in the up there by old Brainerd, Minnesota. And I made the mistake, Ben, of wearing a blue shirt to the reception.
And you were dark blue in some spots and light blue in others.
Oh, it was so bad. I had to apologize to the bride when I danced with the bride. I had to be like, I'm so sorry. So sorry about all of this.
It's going to ruin everything.
I mean, your pictures are going to look terrible. Like, I can't help it. I'm sweating. It's muggy up here.
So good for her. First round pick, though. Be very cool.
No, it's great. Great for that University of Utah women's program. And, wish her nothing but success. Caitlin Clark goes number 1.
Brink 2 from Stanford, Cardoso goes 3, and she and Cardoso and Angel Reese are going to be on the same team. They both got drafted by Chicago, a couple of twin towers there to reform it. So I had fun watching the draft. You saw the numbers. Caitlin Clark's jersey sold out within an hour, every size at Fanatics. So she's already drawing a ton of attention. We will see how she performs, and curious to watch how Alyssa Pelley performs as well. But congratulations to the Ute star. With all due respect to Kim Smith, the best women's basketball player in the state of
Ken Smith was awesome. I will not stand for her slander on this show.
It's not slander to say she's the second best.
Join Hanson. We're not going down this road again. Join Hanson Scotty this Friday at Spa Trouvé in Highland, located at 5455 West, 11000 North. How would we say that in Utah? 110th
North? 110th
North. Stop by and say hi. We will be. They will be broadcasting live from noon to 3. Stay tuned. More Jake and Ben next, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer. Combining beauty and technology on windows and doors since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Also want to remind you about Win Ticket Wednesday, your chance to win big every week. This week, coming up tomorrow, Ben, you can win a pair of tickets to go see Blue October at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater on August 24th. Listen to the KSL Sports Zone all day on Wednesday for your chance to win.
Going to have Danny Ainge coming up in about 10 minutes, but the big breaking news as far as BYU basketball alumnus go. Well, I guess Kevin Young's not a BYU alum like Danny Ainge, but Kevin Young is the new head coach at BYU. You can find the story at kslsports.com. Mitch Harper has a bunch of background information. 42 years old. I first remember hearing about him when he was the head coach of the Utah Flash before the Utah Stars when they were playing out at Point of the Mountain. But he worked for the Iowa Energy behind Nick Nurse. He coached for Monty Williams. He's coached for the 76ers. I mean, he's just been on a lot of – he's behind Vogel right now. Like, whether all those guys are great coaches, I mean, Vogel has a title. Nick Nurse has a title.
Vogel does not have a title.
Vogel has a title.
He has a Mickey Mouse title.
He won the title. He has a championship ring.
Does it have Mickey on it?
He coached LeBron, and Frank Vogel then got to tutor a little bit Kevin Young for a couple of years in Phoenix. So – it's just a crazy resume. Worked for Doc Rivers, the 76ers, which maybe you want to block some of that out.
Forget that, yeah.
No, it's unbelievable. I mean, the types of stories you can tell. You can say, yeah, I coached Joel Embiid. Yeah, I coached Kevin Durant. Yeah, when I was coaching Devin Booker. Like, yeah, that helps. That helps on the recruiting trail. And those are things Kevin Young is going to bring to BYU. My guess, my conspiracy is he was in line or was hoping to get the Brooklyn Nets job yesterday. They named Jordy Fernandez from the Sacramento Kings, and he switches his commitment to BYU. And I'll be curious, does he start today? Does he coach the rest of the playoffs for the Phoenix Suns? I'm not sure.
I can't believe his contract leaked out.
I can. Someone was flexing. That's a huge flex. What is it? 7 years?
$30 million.
Oof.
Yeah, but BYU is really quiet on that.
Yes, they are. There's a reason they weren't.
Yeah. I wonder if it came out through NBA sources, right? I wonder if it's his agent, Kevin Young's agent, leaking it.
Yeah, I wonder if the person who's paying him has any links to the NBA.
Huh? No, the Cougars are paying him that money.
Okay. Ryan Smith's paying him that money.
BYU's paying him that money.
Ryan Smith is helping pay him that money.
Well, I'm saying, like, if he signed a contract with BYU, sure, for that, BYU is paying that,
yes,
money.
Yes, but where the money is coming from and who would leak that and who would have some NBA connections is pretty interesting. And regardless, it was a flex. That is a flex from BYU. We are paying our coach top-tier dollars, even within the Big 12. That is top-tier coaching money. It's not the highest of the highs. What did Mark Pope get? Five-year 27?
Something like that.
So, I mean, more. But 7 years 30 is not an insignificant amount of money. That is a big flex from BYU. And the hire is a big flex from BYU.
All right. We're going to have Danny Ainge and his press conference to wrap up the season coming up next. Stay tuned. It's Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.